Business with Barbados Chamber of Commerce and Industry, BCCI. Welcome as we hear the perspectives of various subject matter experts and stay up to date on the challenges and solutions around emerging and current trends in business, policies, trade, and more.
The Green Committee of the BCCI operates with a clear mandate to support Barbados's goal of achieving 100% renewable energy and energy efficient usage. Central to its mission is the promotion of renewable energy sources and energy efficiency, driving the island towards a sustainable green economy. In alignment with this objective, the committee supports the chamber and members in reducing their energy footprint through a number of initiatives. The committee's agenda extends beyond energy concerns to encompass broader environmental stewardship. This includes advocating for the conservation of natural resources, promoting recycling initiatives, and fostering the development of a more sustainable economy. Additionally, the committee prioritizes initiatives aimed at sustainable water resource management, water conservation, waste reduction, and environmental education. Emphasis is placed on pollution control within workplaces, particularly concerning indoor air quality and its impacts on employee well-being and productivity. Welcome to Let's Talk Business with the BCCI. And today we'll take a look at the green and renewable energy sector. I'm Michelle Spencer, and today we have Anderson Armstrong, Chair of the BCCI Green Committee, and Nicola Berry, member of the BCCI Green Committee and Principal, Attorney at Law and Arbitrator, Berry's Attorneys and Arbitrators. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you, Michelle. Yeah. And a little correction, I'm Andy Armstrong, not Anderson. Anderson is blood. So, and I'm not as good a singer as he is.
Thank you so much, Mr. Andy Armstrong. Now let's jump in and find out about the Green Committee and how you've been working with government to achieve the 2030 renewable energy goals. Tell us about this.
Okay, well, thanks again, Michelle. And just let me extend season's greetings to you and everyone listening to us today, special time of the year. So we're happy to be here talking green business. So the Barbados Chamber of Commerce and Industry actually formed our Green Committee in 2010. At that point, I was the president of the chamber, but not the president of the Green Committee. Our first president was Roger Blackman, who is now managing director of Barbados Light and Power. And Roger did a great job of kicking things off. And initially, the Green Committee was more of a catalyst because in 2010, we really felt that Barbados was not doing enough to be serious about the transition to the green economy. And thankfully, we worked well as a catalyst because the government of the day got on board and got excited about it. And we made a lot of progress. But 2018, there was a quantum leap because you might remember before 2018, our goal was 29 by 2029, which just meant we wanted 29% of our energy from renewable sources by 2029. And now we want 100% by 2030, which is very ambitious, but a goal that the chamber fully embraces. And what I would find is this current administration is very focused on making that happen. The current Minister of Energy, the Honorable Lisa Cummins, really is working hard to try to do the practical things that need to be done to get us towards 2030. And the Green Committee has been very much a part of those meetings and deliberations with the Ministry of Energy. We've also had discussions with the Fair Trade and Commission, Barbados Renewable Energy Association, the Bankers Association, Environmental Protection Department planning. So there's a lot goes into doing everything that needs to be done to get us to 2030. And the chamber has been very much a part of that. It's also important to note that the Barbados Light and Power Company is a member of the Chamber of Commerce, as is BREEA, is an honorary member. And I'd say all of the banks in Barbados are members of the chamber. There's a lot of people need to do a lot of things if we're to get to 2030.
What progress do you think that Barbados has made with these particular, some people might say, lofty goals? So what progress has been made?
I believe Barbados has made a lot of progress. I mean, sometimes for those of us in the field, obviously, we don't feel enough progress has been made. And you know where we are now, where roughly 19% of our energy is coming from renewable energy sources, but we're at the stage where Light and Power cannot onboard anything more on the grid because the grid is now can be unstable at certain times. And we need to move to the next stage, which is storage and a smarter grid. So that's frustrating because there are people and companies that have spent a lot of money and actually have built solar PV systems, and they are unable to connect them to the grid. So from that point of view, there's a frustration there. But I think if we step back and take a look, Barbados has done a lot to get ready for the process. There's still more to be done, but one very important thing is already in train, which is the whole system for getting battery storage, which was launched just a few weeks ago by the Ministry of Energy. And come January, there will be the official request for proposals for the first 70 megawatts of battery storage. And then later in 2025, another 50 or 60 megawatts. So that battery storage, at least in the short term, is the fastest way of getting storage on board, which we need to do if we are going to put more renewable energy onto the grid. So I think we've made a lot of progress, particularly if you look in the Caribbean context. I would say probably only Jamaica is ahead of Barbados. We're not there yet, but there is an understanding of where we need to go and how to get there.
Well, let's pull Nicola in. What's your perspective on the market in Barbados? What opportunities are there that you might be seeing?
Well, thank you, Michelle. And certainly picking up from where Andy left off, I think that there are a number of opportunities. Certainly when we have the battery storage in place or to facilitate the increase in connection to the grid, et cetera, the investors who are still quite eager to participate in that space will now get the opportunity to bring to life the projects that they have, and therefore we will find now an increase in the percentage, that percentage that Andy mentioned, that in terms of where we are, in terms of the connection of renewables to the grid, it gives those investors, and it certainly gives the country, an opportunity to increase that number. We still have a way to go in creating the right sort of enabling environment for this transition to RE, and certainly to be able to achieve that 100% goal that we have as a country. And so we still have some challenges that we have to overcome in order to fully realize the opportunities. And if I may, I can mention here that we do have the challenge of deficits within the regulatory framework, which I think when you look across the Caribbean, you'll find that deficit exists throughout. And as countries are seeking to transition their economies and their energy sectors in this manner, they certainly have to address the deficit in the regulatory framework. Just recently, it was reported in one of our newspapers when a report was done concerning the Caribbean High Level Forum on managing the energy transition, that one of the major obstacles for us here in Barbados is the inadequacy of our regulation, which we are fixing, which we're seeking to ensure that we address that. And by that, what I mean is that we're updating our legislation. So that updated legislative framework needs to be in place Certainly, we need to have the resources, or regulators need to have the capacity to be able to handle the new aspects of the terrain of how different areas in this space will be regulated. And so once we have the right enabling environment, what you'll find is that that investor confidence certainly will grow, therefore unlocking some of the projects which are still in a queue waiting to be realized. And once we have that increase in the investor confidence as well, we certainly will also see where financing will be unlocked, because that is an area in which I think we have not seen the sort of financing of major projects, because again, the right enabling environment is still being worked out. And so I expect to see financing being unlocked and therefore realizing the opportunities.
You mentioned some of the factors that are necessary for this enabling environment, to use your words. Are there any others that will be ideal so that we can progress a little bit faster?
Well, certainly. I think that we do have, as we have to make sure we gather the right persons to be able to execute, to implement. And I think that implementation is an area that is critical to ensuring that we achieve the goals that we have set out to achieve. And certainly, I think we need to have the right set of team members in place who will ensure that we can execute in a timely manner. Whether it is that we are putting in place certain regulatory resources, we want to make sure those resources are in place within a certain time frame, and we see try our best to ensure that that is in place. So implementation, I think, is an area that will be critical to realizing these objectives, and we certainly have to address how do we put together the right persons, the right departments to be able to drive this process. So that implementation team, I think, is also critical to the process.
Yeah, if I could jump in, this is Andy again, just to add on to what Nicola was saying. The Ministry of Energy has a plan to double the amount of technical staff that they have. Which they recognize that's a big issue, because I think right now they have one electrical analyst, and that person is required to give input on a number of different areas, and it's too much physically for one person to do. And the ministry recognizes that, and they're putting things in place. They're working with some overseas NGOs to help fund some of this. But that is a big issue. I would say the key thing is that the government is addressing it. I just wanted to speak a bit too about the new Electricity Supply Act, which was recently passed. Correct me, Nicola, I don't think it was actually proclaimed. It was to be proclaimed on November 30th, but I don't think that happened. But even so, what the minister is doing now is putting together a team to do the regulations, because as I guess you would know, Michelle, it's one thing to pass an act and even proclaim it. Mm-hmm. But if you don't have proper regulations to explain how the act is supposed to work, it just doesn't really work very well. So that whole issue of regulations is really key.
And the BCCI has been able to step up and to host the Green and Renewable Energy Expo for a number of years. Let's tack back, first of all, to why did you see the need to create and to host the Green and Renewable Energy Expo?
Well, the first one was October 2022. But prior to that, the Chamber had a few, let's call them green events, where we would invite the relevant minister. It might have been the Minister of the Environment or sometimes the Minister of Energy to talk about that. So we'd had a number of ad hoc events, even going back to 2010. But in 2022, we thought this is an important enough thing that we should have a regular event to support that. We might have started a little earlier, but if you remember, late 2022 was when there was still COVID in the air, and that was one of the first in-person events, I guess, that had been held for a while. So the first one was October 2022. We were going to come back in October 2023, but then the calendar got very crowded. So we moved to February 2024. And we kind of settled in that February seems a good time to have that. So we're going to have one also on the 4th of February, 2025. And the first one was so successful. And we had such great feedback that people said to us, you need to have this as a regular annual event. And Misha, our executive director at the chamber, jumped on that and saw the opportunity that it could be, we hoped, one of the flagship events to do with the green economy in Barbados, where at least once a year we get together and we look at where we are, where we need to go. And I think people do look forward to the Green Expo just to really know, to get their pulse on where we are in terms of meeting that 2030 goal.
What have been some of the key outcomes from the past 3 years?
Well, I think one of the key outcomes really has been to keep the whole issue of the green economy on the front burner for the government and for Barbados, and also for the general public to understand what's going on, because there often is a lot going on behind the scenes, but with everything else that's happening day to day, people may not be able, well, wouldn't keep track because they're not going to get regular updates on what the various committees are doing. But the Green Expo is a good time to be able to update the whole of Barbados, but particularly the people who are involved in the industry and the policymakers on where we are. It's also certain things have come out of that. I mean, from last year, well, not last year, it was February this year, one of the things that was highlighted was the whole issue of resiliency. And I think that's now much more on the front burner because there was perhaps not as clear an understanding that the renewable energy, like the solar PV and the wind when it comes, they need to be resilient as well, because we've seen what happened with Hurricane Beryl in the Grenadines, and they lost a number of their solar PV installations. So we're going to be very reliant on solar PV in the future, and we want to make sure that those installations are built in a resilient way, and it is possible to build them to withstand, I'm told, even a Category 5 hurricane. Mm-hmm. But we want to be sure that the majority of those in Barbados are built to withstand the kind of storms that we will get from time to time in Barbados. So I think the Green Expo has helped to highlight certain things which maybe might not have been highlighted as much before.
Well, we know that it's not just a talk shop, but there have been showcases of renewable energy innovations and products at the Expo as well. Can you tell us about those?
I wonder, Nicola, you want to handle that one?
Well, yes, certainly. We have had in the past those persons who are involved in cutting edge projects showcasing those projects at the expo. We have also had some of our sponsors bringing to sharing about their new products at the expo, and so it's also an opportunity for the persons who attend to understand some of the cutting edge projects that are occurring in the country, and also to see some of these products on showcase at the expo. So next year, we're certainly going to be continuing to have these things at the expo. We're going to have our EV vehicles, recycling projects and solutions being showcased at next year's expo. And so that's also very much an aspect of the expo that persons look forward to experiencing.
Well, we know that once you talk about renewable energy, we are thinking the future. And as part of that, there will be the involvement of students. What's happening there?
Yes. So in addition to the cutting edge topics and in-depth discussions that we'll be having at the next year's expo. We are looking forward to expanding on how we include our secondary and tertiary students from those institutions, secondary and tertiary institutions. And so we're in the process of inviting students to, with exciting projects, to showcase their green and renewable energy solutions during the event. We are also putting together a competition amongst these students, whereby they will be able to have an opportunity to tell us about the projects that they're working on. And then we will have a committee that will make a selection of the project that should be awarded a prize. We look forward to issuing a prize to what to the best project as determined by the committee. We're also looking forward to having the students discuss their own topic. So we're planning to have a concurrent session whereby the students will gather, and they too will have a panel of youth leaders and experts discussing an area that is of interest to them and facilitating questions by our students. So we wanted, last year we would have had them, they would have been present at the expo, but this year we want to hear from them and give them a chance to participate in a discussion on one of the current topics. And so they will be having a concurrent session while we have the main session taking place.
Well, sometimes it seems as though Barbadians at large don't seem to be very involved unless they're hearing, well, the electricity bill will go up, or, you know, something else that will affect them in their pockets. How are we getting an ordinary Barbadian to be a part of the expo?
Well, the expo is open to everyone. It's a full day expo. We start around eight in the morning, and we go right to 6 p.m. And anyone can attend, and we do encourage anyone who's interested to come. It's a great place to learn about what's going on. We have lots of panel discussions, so lots of opportunities to interact with leaders in the field and ordinary people. This year, as well, for next year, we have the Honorable Lisa Cummins will give the keynote, as she did in the last one, and she's in a great position to really help give us an overview. I was thinking back to the first one we did in 2022. We could have say you heard it here first, because we had a major presentation from Renewstable, which is the green hydrogen project, which you would have seen very recently is now breaking ground in St. Philip. But at our expo was, I think, the first time that most people even knew it existed. And that's one of the exciting things about the expo, is it's a chance to learn about stuff maybe before everyone else knows about it. One of the exciting things that always gets great crowds is we always have electric vehicles on display in our expo. And you know, those are big hits. People are a lot very curious about what an electric vehicle is. So you have a chance to come and sit in one and understand more about it. And in our last one, we had quite a bit on waste management, because we had Scrapman there talking about how you can do waste management, and, you know, just giving them a little plug, because this came up also in our Wildy Green Business Initiative project. You can, if you have their bins as a business, you can put your recycling and one in your garbage in another. And when their trucks come, the trucks have two sides, so they can collect both at one time. So a fairly cost-efficient way of separating your recyclables from your main garbage. But basically, yeah, anyone can come, and we do hope that as many people as possible will come. It will be at the Lloyd Erskine Sandiford Center. So we have lots of space to accommodate you. And if there are too many people, well, there's always Kensington Oval, right, Misha?
And if I may add, Michelle, to what Andy has said, I think Barbadians are also interested in the the topics that we have listed for discussion. Everyone is interested in knowing where we are with respect to our 2030 goal as a nation. In fact, the theme for next year's expo is getting it right for 2030. And some of the topics that we will be discussing include achieving the vision of 100% renewable energy, and what is the right strategy for storage implementation, which we would have discussed earlier. It also will include a discussion around resilience and energy security. How can we assure energy resilience and security for Barbados? Thirdly, we also will be having a discussion on the electricity power grid infrastructure. How do we achieve grid modernization and digitalization? And how should we fund the cost? Everyone has been concerned about grid stability, and we will have a chance to talk about this at the next year's expo. What about financing projects? There are a number of projects that are awaiting unlocking. And so we'll be talking about creating bankable projects for commercial and institutional lenders. What are the critical elements to achieving finance-ready projects? And of course, modernization of regulation. How do we modernize regulation affecting the renewable energy sector? And we also will be talking about ESG trends and ESG in practice, as part of our efforts towards sustainability and mission economy agenda. So those are topics I know that every Barbadian will have an interest in. And so we're hoping that those topics will also be enough to encourage persons to attend.
Yes, it sounds as if I, as an ordinary Barbadian, should be available to come and to see and to hear and to take part, just in case one cannot. How can one get the information that comes out of the expos?
We're not streaming it live, because just technically it's quite an issue to do a hybrid event.
Yes.
There will be certainly some of the presentations will be available. So if you contact the secretariat, we can share some of those with people. I don't know. I guess we trust also that the news media will do a good job of covering it as well.
Yes. In terms of, yes, go ahead.
But it's best if persons try to attend. I think that the best way of getting all the information is by being there in the room, when you can engage in the discussions and learn more from the industry leaders and the experts who will be present.
Well, that's for those attendees. Let's say I am one who has a really innovative green project and I'm now hearing about the expo that's coming up. What's the opportunity for me to be able to take part?
Well, you can book an exhibit, because we have exhibitors. So there is a fee, but it's not a huge fee. So yes, we can contact the secretariat and you can set up an exhibit, and that gives you the chance to get your idea out there to key stakeholders. And if you need feedback, you get feedback. You may also end up getting investors out of the Green Expo. So definitely, it's not too late to be an exhibitor.
Wonderful. Give us those details once more, the date and so on.
On Tuesday, the 4th of February, 2025, at the Lloyd Erskine Sandiford Center. As I said, we're starting from around 8 in the morning and going through to 6 p.m.
Great. Well, this has been Let's Talk Business with the BCCI, as we took a look at green and renewable energy and the upcoming expo in 2025. The guests today were Andy Armstrong, chair of the BCCI Green Committee, and Nicola Berry, member of the BCCI Green Committee and principal attorney at law and arbitrator, Berry's Attorneys and Arbitrators. I'm Michelle Spencer, wishing you a great day.
That's it for another edition of Let's Talk Business with Barbados Chamber of Commerce. Commerce and Industry, BCCI. Join us again next time as we hear the perspectives of various subject matter experts and stay up to date on the challenges and solutions around emerging and current trends in business, policies, trade, and more.